Does a personal relationship with Jesus always feel good and comfortable? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Matilde Frey, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Our series on the themes in the Gospel of John is today on John chapter 4, The Samaritan Woman. My conversation partners, again, this time are Alex Bryan and Andreas Bekai from Walla Walla University, President and Lead Pastor. I'm honored to have both of you with me today on this very beautiful story in the Gospel of John on the Samaritan woman. We are discussing personal relationships with Jesus. Do they always feel good? Are we always comfortable to be in that very intimacy of a relationship?
You know, I've been married for over a decade, and I'm fortunate to have been married and to be married to a wonderful, wonderful partner. Our relationship is good. Is it always comfortable? No. Why not? Because she's smart and she challenges me. And if you're in a relationship that is a loving relationship, it cannot be a relationship in which you overlook places where the other person needs to grow. So I often think a relationship with Jesus cannot simply be the equivalent of being in a puppy petting zoo, but it has to be one that challenges us and stretches us to live up to our high calling, right? Oswald Chambers, I think it has to challenge us if it's good. Being good cannot be synonymous with being comfortable. I'll give one example. Some of you have heard of Nicholas Zinzendorf, and he was known for talking about the heart religion and about the importance of friendships and brotherly community. But those Moravian missionaries who were compelled because of the depth of their love for Jesus and their personal relationship for Jesus were some of the most incredible Protestant missionaries in the 1700s who were willing to give up everything, get on boats, and go and live incredible lives, including one story which, you know, I think it has some historical veracity of one who went and sold himself into slavery so he could live a life in which he could witness about his personal relationship to those that he was enslaved with. So a personal relationship with Jesus, it's always good. Is it always comfortable? Not always. It can be challenging.
And I might add just the word healthy. Mm-hmm. So you said it's always good but not comfortable. I think it's always healthy.
Yes.
And I think about that just because if you go to a good physician or a therapist that's a quality therapist, mm-hmm. or someone you trust that's a mentor, those individuals will not always make it comfortable.
That's good.
But it always must be healthy. And that's how I think Jesus interacts with us. So not comfortable. I love your question that you've written here. Not always feel good, not always comfortable, but healthy should be the standard.
For health, we need to do something for that. And that is not always an easy thing. The chapters in the Gospel of John are between Nicodemus, who has come to Jesus by night, and then the woman, and Jesus and the woman meet in the day, in the daylight. And there is definitely a beautiful way of drawing the contrasts between these two figures in the Gospel of John. What we recognize from Nicodemus versus the Samaritan woman. When we come to the time of day on the story with the Samaritan woman, we meet her and Jesus asks a very simple question that is supposed to speak to the fleshly life of Jesus, isn't it? He's thirsty. He asks for a drink, and that is how the conversation starts. Is that how we can begin getting into this relationship with somebody and just taking it from the place where we are in the present life instead of jumping right away into the big sermon?
And Jesus doesn't offer her a glass of water. It's the opposite. And I also think sometimes we can be quite paternalistic. Come to my church and I will fix your problems, you know, or come to this event that I'm planning. And if you sign up, then I'll be able to set you straight. There's a real honoring of people, I think, that Jesus models here when he asks her for something. That I think that's a sign of respect. It's a sign of care. And I think even when, not to jump too far afield here, you can pull me back quickly, but I think even when Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world, what an incredible honor that he's trusting us with something. So I just love the value that he places in her. This isn't a pathetic pity story.
No.
Does that make sense? He's honoring her, dignifying her as a human being.
And really quickly as well, I think Jesus asking for the water is part of his really well-intentioned diversion through Samaria and the significance of meeting at Jacob's well, which has history for both the Samaritans, the cousins of the Israelites. And it's almost telling them that this is possible, and there's a possibly reconciliation that can happen in this moment, because he's asking for water at the place that they both can see as common ground. And I think it's important for us to, in our conversations with people, when we want to reveal the beauty and invite people to Jesus, like you said, don't be paternalistic. Look for common ground and look for places in which you can also dignify the other person as being able to contribute to you, even if you have something that you want to give to them.
And then when Jesus goes on to speak with her, he asks her about some really personal, intimate things. Should we actually do that kind of thing? For a lot of us, think of this way as like that Jesus would try to point out her failures in life, her so-called sins. Now, is that Jesus' way, actually? Does Jesus go to like reveal and bring to the surface things that we would not like to talk about? Or is there possibly another way of thinking about Jesus asking the woman about her husbands?
I would say yes, in some ways, in the sense that Jesus may point out sin if we're talking about gaps in our relationship with God or misordered love, because it's for our benefit and for our good. So when the rich young ruler, for example, in the synoptics comes to Jesus and wants to know how he can follow him, Jesus has a conversation with him with the goal not of shaming him, but rather of bringing to bear what he's lacking so he can provide it. Now, with the Samaritan woman, I've heard sermons, or perhaps you had, in which people will speak of this woman as someone who has the same agency that someone might have today in 2024 in America, the ability to be in relationships and in marriages and to, you know, begin and end marriages, and therefore she is someone who is basically often mischaracterized as being sort of a harlot, a serial divorcee who has a moral failing. And when Jesus says, but don't you have five husbands, that this is a gotcha moment and she ought to be falling down repenting for her sin. But I've read this story enough, and I think Carolyn Lewis does an excellent job in giving us some additional ways in which to look at that. I mean, what do you think, Alex? You think the reading of her being a serial adulterer who just moves from man to man and she's a moral wreck and failure, you think that's what's going on?
No, I don't think that's what's going on. And in a world where power dynamics were such that a woman would not have had that kind of choice, that kind of power, no, I think she, I mean, I want to be careful not to use the word victim, but she certainly was in a place where other human beings were taking advantage of her situation. So yeah, I think that Jesus always approached people understanding their pain, their suffering, and maybe even combinations of bad choices, but really difficult circumstances that were put on. It kind of bound up.
Yes.
The only people you see Jesus going after, like where you're like, whoa, I got to back away from the Bible for a second because this thing's hot,
yeah,
is people that clearly have a lot of power.
Mm.
I mean, those are the ones where you kind of can't wiggle your way around those stories, right?
Yeah. Seven
Whether
words,
it's
yes.
religious power or financial power or political power, that's where you see real confrontation in the Gospels and in the Gospel of John. But I think you almost have to look at all the other characters in a very different way. So I think Jesus is sensitive. Now, to the question, Matilda, that you ask about, you know, should we go around kind of poking in people's lives? This is a clear example where we're not Jesus. You know, I would, as a pastor, I would not advise a church member to go take it upon themselves to go start poking around in other people's lives.
Yes.
You have to earn that right. And I'll say, I think this is a difference between a local parish minister like Andreas who's earned the right to speak into my life as one of his parishioners. We have a relationship, right? A preacher that's rolling into town, you know, either as an evangelist or a speaker for the weekend. And I've done that too, right? I mean, yes. I've traveled. I preach very differently, and I'm much more careful about how I interact with people.
Yes.
When I do not have the right to do certain things because I'm not in a relationship with them.
Mm.
And I think this is true in the example of Jesus, who you see, even in this little example, he's built a relationship with the woman prior. Now, you might say, well, that's a short-lived relationship, but the trajectory of Jesus' ministry is one where he's building relationships with people.
Yes.
And as he's saying difficult things, it's in the context of someone who knows them well. To just be firing away on social media at people, or to be, you know, blasting somebody in a church, or to me, it's not the way of Jesus, because you haven't earned the right. And I come back to that. We've used the marriage metaphor before, but my wife can say some pretty direct things to me. She has the right. You know, there's 25 years of built relationship there this year, and that changes things, right? And I think that's always been my standard, Dr. Fry. I mean, it's always been my thought that you have to earn the right to say hard things to people. You can't just assume that you're on your soapbox of holiness and you can fire away.
Mm.
Now, when you're in a good relationship with someone, I think not only do you have the right, but then you start to feel the responsibility, right?
Because
you care enough about them and you've earned trust.
Now, what I find so well done in this, in the way the Gospel of John gives us these stories, that Jesus starts with the obvious, with the water, the thirst, and then progresses into the deeper and deeper and deeper places together with the woman. And always in those moments when she is not sure, what does he mean? What does he talk about right now? Then you can see Jesus retract a bit and come back.
Yes.
So that he leads her into the towards the next step. Because that water from the well is the water that you drink with a cup.
Yes.
But Jesus speaks about the living water.
Mm.
And to get to that point, that is something that is amazing when you compare this with the Nicodemus story here.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship, that is what we started talking about in this lesson, is the relationship that should become a matter that remains. And so we will see next time again and again, the word for relationship is to abide. In the Gospel of John. And Jesus will abide even with the Samaritans afterwards. Thank you so much for this conversation together, President Alex Bryan and Pastor Andreas Pekai, and also thank you so much to our program engineer, Karen Bailey, and to all of our listeners for the good word. I'm Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.